We're on to part two of an Advent series called Characters Around the Cradle. And it's a bit of a different way of looking at Advent. I am going to talk about Jesus and the coming of Jesus and God. But we're also going to learn about characters and what they can teach us. So these are the two for today, Elizabeth and Mary. Now, Elizabeth, as you heard from the song, she had been praying, as well as Zechariah, for a child for many, many years. Now, this is a very sensitive topic, I know, for those who can't have children. I realise that. But I want to just emphasise that in the first century, it was equally and even more a sort of social problem. Because particularly if you were a priest, like Zechariah was, it was an expectation that you had children. And there would have been a lot of sideways glances and raised eyebrows, particularly for a priestly family. And when they went up to the festivals, like the Passover festival, there were crowds of other priests with all their children running around. It would have made them stick out like a sore thumb. It would have hurt. They would have been quietly grieving within, and it would have enhanced how they felt, particularly as Zechariah went off to do his priestly duties. Also, if you didn't have a child in the Jewish first century, it also dashed a hope, a secret hope that scholars think most Jewish women held. They had this secret hope that they might be the mother of the Messiah. You know, there was a promise of a rescuer coming. And if you couldn't have children, obviously that meant you couldn't be the mother of the Messiah. Now, based on the appearance of the angel to Zechariah in the temple, if you know the story, Zechariah is going into the temple as a priest, and suddenly an angel appears and tells him he's going to have a son. But based on his reaction, I think he had lost faith at this point. I think his attitude is summed up well in that little speech bubble that I made up last night. I can't prove this, but you listen to the way Zechariah responded to the angel. You go, well, how can this happen? I'm an old man. It's like, that time has passed, Mr. Angel. I love what Tony shared in the prayer meeting this morning. Tony mentioned that Zechariah said, I am an old man. And the angel said, I'm Gabriel. The power of God. You know, I think Zechariah had given up believing. And this is what he said. Well, that's it. It's not going to happen now. We have to just get on with our lives. It's a new season. Let's forget it, dear. But I think Elizabeth was different. This is first lesson from Elizabeth. I think she kept on believing. Now, I can't prove it. It's not stated in the Bible. But when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, when Mary was pregnant with Jesus, this is what Elizabeth said at the doorstep when Mary came in. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her. So Elizabeth recognized someone else who was believing. Because I think she was still believing. She hadn't given up faith. And I want to say that's one lesson we can learn from Elizabeth. I'm not talking necessarily about having a child. I'm talking about maybe there's something in your life that you're praying for. Maybe there's a relative or a family member that you're praying for to get saved and come to know Jesus. And it's taking a long, long time. I want to encourage you. I believe God is saying this morning, keep on believing. Tenacious faith. Tenacious means you hold on. She had a steady flame. The flame of her faith still burned, even if it was a very small flame. It says in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3, I love this verse, a bruised reed, that means someone who's suffering or weeping, he will not break. and a smouldering wick, a bit like these here, he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. God sees, even if you've got a tiny little flame of faith, like these little flames, that's precious. Keep praying. It says elsewhere in Psalm 25, verse 3, essentially the same thing. No one who waits on the Lord will ever be put to shame. That word wait can be translated hope. No one who hopes in the Lord will ever be put to shame. Isaiah again. Those who hopefully wait for me, I need to put my glasses on, will not be put to shame. Isaiah 49. And another translation, those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Is there something you're hoping for, praying for? It may be not to do with like children, it may be other things. And I want to encourage you, if you've become like Zechariah, said, oh, well, time to move on. Can I encourage you to not do that? Be a bit more like Elizabeth this morning. Because eventually God did take away her shame in her situation. God took away her disgrace in those days. She said, the Lord has done for me. She said, in these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. You see her in this cartoon gripping a pole. To me, that's like, I know it's only a cartoon, but it's like holding on to faith. And then she realized that my child will be the forerunner of the Messiah. One of my non-Christian heroes. Winston Churchill in Harrow College, 1941. Apparently he was late to some student meeting. And he gave a very short speech, and this was part of it. I'll do the accent. Never. Never give in. I won't do it. Never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honour and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. I believe Elizabeth kept on believing. Lesson number two. She kept remembering God's past blessings. You know, one of the reasons why Luke, I believe, writes this account for us about a barren woman and a man, apart from showing the sheer impossibility of it, is to remind us of how God started the nation of Israel with Abraham and Sarah. You know, they how old was Abraham? Was he getting up to 100? Sarah was up near to 100, and yet they had a child, Isaac. And it's a reminder that it's going to be God that does it. And I believe that it's not written here. It's not written in Luke chapter 1. But I believe that Elizabeth remembered what God had done in the past. You know, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac. I mean, how impossible was that? Other examples, Jacob. When Rachel was dying, or when Rachel, she said, give me children or I die. It's a kind of picture of God again doing what only God can do. Manoah and his wife led to the birth of Samson. Hannah and Elkanah led to the birth of Samuel. Psalm 77 encourages us to remember God's past blessings. And it says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. This is a good spiritual discipline. When you feel like doubting, when you feel depressed, when you feel like giving it all up, when you feel maybe entitled, just remember things that God has done. Psalm 103 says, verse 2, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And Psalm 105, verse 5, remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. It can generate hope, it can generate faith, it can generate gratitude when you when you're feeling down, just try and thank the Lord for things he's done in the past. It really helps. Third lesson from Elizabeth. The timing of answered prayer. Now, I don't know how long they'd been praying, but it was a long time, and nothing seemed to happen. Well, I think we forget sometimes that our prayers, particularly if you're praying for somebody else, is tied in with what God is doing in their life. It's tied in with what God is going to do in their life, and you can't rush that. You have to remember, Mary, for example, she was a teenager. She was actually probably a late teenager. So, for God to give Elizabeth John the Baptist, they had to wait and wait and wait and wait until Mary had grown up into a teenager, which was like two generations later. And then John the Baptist can be born, because then it's, something's happened in Mary's life. Our prayers are tied up with what's going on in the other person's life. So if you're praying for a relation or a person in your family who's not yet saved, and you're saying, come on, Lord, why haven't you done it yet? Well, maybe it's depending on what God is doing in their life. They had to wait a long time, but then God did it. There's a verse in Revelation that kind of pictures this idea of you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray and you wait and you wait. And God collects your prayers in a golden bowl, it says. In Revelation 5, verse 8, I've got a golden bowl here. Well, it's not really gold. And it's not really a bowl. More like a symbol, but anyway. Now, I want you to imagine a golden bowl, right? This is like a golden bowl. Now, in goes your prayers, right? You pray for somebody. Maybe a family friend or someone or some situation. You pray. These are prayers, by the way. You pray, and God's collecting your prayers. Because it says, they held golden bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And then there comes a day in God's time when he does this, that your final prayer goes in, and he pours out the answer. And God does it. This Friday at the prayer meeting, if we pray each Friday morning, Claire, who spoke this morning, actually mentioned that Bible verse about golden bowls collecting our prayers. And I was encouraged by that. And if you want to hear God speak, and you if you're free, please pop along on a Friday morning. It's a good meeting. Another little analogy that came to my mind as I was thinking about why they had to wait so long is this analogy of waiting for the post to arrive. Now, I know sometimes these days you've got to wait quite a long time for a letter, haven't you? I mean, I'm waiting for a letter from the hospital about some scan, and it's apparently it's been sent, but it's still not here yet. Don't worry, I'm okay. It's just you wait for letters. But the thing about a letter is when you post it, it's in the post. And providing the post is working, and God's postal service does work, the letter's on its way. And I want to encourage you, your prayers, they're on their way. I used to sing an old chorus. I won't sing it, but I'll give you the words. The answer's on its way, this I know. God has spoken, I believe it, and it's so. My heavenly Father hears the need before I pray. Yes, oh yes, the answer's on its way. The letter will come. Fourth lesson of Elizabeth. There's no ageism with God. What I mean by ageism is God doesn't write off old people or any age group. There's a danger in modern churches where pastors and leaders can sacrifice the older member of the congregation on the altar of ageism and not excavate from them the wisdom and the experience that they have in life. And how they can be such a blessing in the church. You see, the story to me of Zechariah and Elizabeth is that God hasn't finished with them. Even in their old age, he has a plan. Now, you may not obviously give birth to a forerunner of a Messiah. But God definitely hasn't finished with you. Otherwise, he would have taken you off of this earth. There are gifts that you can use which are suited to your season in life. And the trick is not to try and pretend you're still 30. That's the trick. But you know, things like time to pray is one. Time to listen. Time to make phone calls. Time to parent others in the faith. Come alongside them and parent others in the faith. Time to encourage. There is something for each person. And there's a great book out there, which I actually know the author. It's called Living Life in the Last Lane by Chris Spicer. I recommend it. Chris Spicer, he doesn't pay me for saying this, but it's on Amazon. Living Life in the Last Lane. And it's really about rediscovering God's gifting and calling for you in the latter years. I believe that some people in our church went to Keswick Conference a few years ago and they listened to a seminar series called Running the Last Lap by John Wyatt. If you ever want to go on the internet, look up Running the Last Lap by John Wyatt on YouTube. It's brilliant. It's four sermons. It's brilliant on living life towards the end of your life or the latter years. I just want to quickly point out this fellow. His name is William Quarrier. He, guy in the 1800s, you probably haven't heard of him. But he started a sanatorium. I'm not entirely sure what that is, but it's some kind of health thing. At the age of 64. And then, 10 years later, he was a lot frailer, but he started a epileptic centre for people with epilepsy, a colony for epilepsy, at the age of 74. So, please remember the story of Elizabeth. God has things for you to do. And I just want to finish these little lessons about Elizabeth by pointing to the two ladies on the arm of that vicar. That's a photograph from about 1949 from the Isle of Lewis, Hebride Revival. And I won't go into all the story, but basically God moved very, very powerfully in 1949, 1950. And many, many people were swept into the kingdom of God on the Scottish islands of the Hebrides. And a lot of it could be traced back to these two old ladies, Christine on the left and Peggy. Christine and Peggy Smith. One was blind, one had arthritis. They couldn't leave the house. But they prayed and they prayed and they actually nagged. They actually nagged the vicars on the island to start praying because they weren't bothering. And God moved. I'm sure they got a good crown when they got to heaven. Anyway, let's move on quickly to Mary. Just the three things about Mary. And also about God, actually. The first one is this. God might surprise you. Do you believe that? Do you believe God is a God of surprises? Hopefully, yes. When you read the Bible, do you go, oh, I wonder what I might see? Or do you go, oh, I know what I'm going to read. Oh, a Christmas story. I've heard that one before. You kind of expect nothing new from your reading. Do you go through life like a child or like my kittens? I've got two kittens. Well, we've got two kittens at the moment. We're getting absolutely nothing done in the house because they're so cute. But they've got this kind of wonderment about everything. Especially when they go in Karina's office. They got wonderment. But do you have a sense of wonderment? I wonder what God might do. Or do you go, I'm not expecting God to do anything, frankly. Well, God did something surprising with Mary. You see, first of all, God sent an angel, not to a man, and not to a religious man, because it was a very religious country, but to a girl and a late teenager, actually. And there's a vote of confidence, by the way, for teenagers. We've got to encourage our teenagers. A vote of confidence for them. God chose a teenager to bear his son into this world. What a vote of confidence. And the thing is, though, she wasn't a religious, big, powerful man. She was a woman, and she wasn't even married. She was a virgin. In a society that was dominated by the men, God went to the least expected. What a surprise. And God did not send his angelic announcement to Rome, which was the political center of the world. He did not send his angelic announcement to Athens, which was the academic center of the world. He did not send his announcement to Jerusalem, which was the religious, with the temple, you know, this religious center of at least Israel. Neither did he even announce it in Bethlehem, which was prophesied in Micah. No, he went to some backwater, despised, written-off town that everyone thought was... I don't know, is there a town in England that everyone thinks is useless? I don't know. Can you think of one? But think of perhaps the worst town you could think of. God chose... Oh, I nearly said Bognor Regis, but I know some people go there. Think of the worst place. God chose there. It's not even in the Old Testament. Nazareth doesn't appear, I don't think, in the Old Testament. In fact, it's so kind of written off as a place that Nathanael in the New Testament says this. When they hear Jesus of Nazareth, he says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" God wants to surprise you. Keep praying. I think he might surprise you. Be open to him surprising you. Another lesson of Mary. It's really how God puts new life in us. This is really seen in the fact that how was Jesus born in Mary? How does new life come into her? Well, there's a heavenly messenger. Now, we will not have a heavenly messenger appearing to us. We won't have a person with wings or appearing to us. But you can hear a heavenly messenger. Tony could be a heavenly messenger preaching one day. He hasn't got wings, I don't think. But a preacher from the front or someone who shares the gospel can be a heavenly messenger. What is an angel? All angel means is heavenly messenger. So God uses people who bring a message from heaven. Chetra and Julia, when they go back to Cambodia and speak the gospel, they are heavenly messengers. They don't have wings. So how does God put new life in people? Well, he needs a messenger. And then, as the message comes out, if the person believes the word, like Mary did, "Be it unto me according to your word," the Holy Spirit then comes, like in the picture, and new life is formed. It's just a picture. I mean, Mary brought Christ into the world, but it's also a picture of how new life comes into us. You need to respond to the message and say, "I surrender," and the Holy Spirit will come and plant new life in you. Okay. Last little nugget that I found thinking about Mary. This is actually my last slide. But it's this. Like Mary, we all face a choice. We all face a choice. What do I mean? Well, when the angel appeared to Mary, you know, Mary could have said, I think she could have said, "No, thank you. If this happens, I'm going to lose my little Joseph. He's not going to want to be with me. If this happens, I'm going to be looked at by all the neighbours as a person who slept around. People are going to give me sideways glances and whisper about me behind my back. I'm going to be an outcast. I'm going to bear this pain all my life. My dream of a family will be gone." She could have said, "Actually, I prefer my cosy little life, Mr. Angel, thank you very much." I mean, she'd have to be pretty brave because an angel could be quite scary, I guess. But she could have said, "I want my little life, my little limited life. I want my coziness. I want my comfort. I don't want this hardship." And I believe that if she'd said that, maybe the angel would have gone on to somebody else. If you will follow God's plan, though, it won't be easy. It'll be hard, but it'll be great. It'll be fab. It'll be better than if you stick to your little plan. If you're not a Christian here today, I want to tell you, if you become a Christian, life will get harder. But it will be better and greater. And if you're already a Christian here today and you want to keep everything to yourself and don't really want to go God's way, then God won't have that. He's going to say, no, I want all of you. I want you. We've got to have the attitude of Mary. I am your servant. Be it unto me according to your word. I'm your servant. You can have all of me. I'm going to go your way because your way, although it's harder, is actually better. And Mary became part of God's great plan. And you can be part of God's great plan. You won't give birth to Jesus, of course, but you, if you just say, I'm going to go your way, Lord, according to your word, then you could be part of God's plan. And I think, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Let's pray, and then we're going to sing a song. Thank you that you are the God of surprises. Thank you that you have a plan for each person here. Thank you that you haven't finished with anyone here. Help everyone here, Lord, to be like Mary and just say, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful, and if people will side with your plan, you will look after them. Thank you how you confirmed to Mary, you sent shepherds, you sent wise men, Joseph didn't leave her, you confirmed it was all okay. And I pray you'll help each person here trust your plan for their life. Help us also, Lord, to be like Elizabeth, who kept believing, who kept remembering, who clung on in faith, even though her husband seemed to have given up. So thank you for these stories, Lord, and thank you that through their obedience and through their believing, the Messiah came into this world. Amen.